Amen. Stand with me as we turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy. Scripture reading is also there for you in the bulletin. Well, it's 1 Timothy. We're moving on to the sermon text. So, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Let us hear God's word, people of God. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Please be seated. It is so good to be in worship with you today, and I have to say that opening song, what we've titled the choral introit, but which was really a duet, I've been waiting for weeks for that song, and it's one that we'll be adding to our repertoire in worship together. So I'd encourage you to look over those words and be encouraged by the simple truth of the gospel that is found in them. A couple of weeks ago, John Watt looked at me and he said something to the effect of, "You're kind of slow rolling through 1 Timothy." And I said, "Well, you know which passages are coming. I'm taking my time getting there." And we live in a culture and a time where the risk a man takes to speak to women's issues is great. And there are probably three things that disqualify me from speaking to this passage in today's environment. I'm a man. It speaks of beauty, and it even mentions hair. And so that is three ways which I am disqualified. I even shared with someone this last week that I have a foot condition. Long story short, my feet and ankles retain water. But when I was born, my legs were black and blue and hard as a rock up to the knees. And my parents took me up to Children's Hospital in Chicago, and they gave the diagnosis Milroy's disease and said that, eventually, if everything starts flowing, he will not be hindered by this. It just looks bad. And so I actually have the documentation at home of having been labeled with a cosmetic handicap. So your suspicions are realized. I am cosmetically challenged. Sorry, Bill. You're going to have to work hard to outdo that one. So here we are at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. The besetting sin of men has already been addressed by the Apostle Paul. That of anger, of being quarrelsome, of wanting to debate needlessly, endlessly. And now he turns and begins to address what can be considered a besetting sin of women, which is an over-concern with externals and the consequent, what will people think when they see me, when they see what I'm in charge of, etc., etc. As we begin, I want to say a couple things, one by way of reminder and one by way of my personal context for this morning and this evening, because we're going to knock both of these out in one day. I look forward to going to bed tonight, hopefully alive. By way of reminder, Paul is dealing, remember he has left Timothy to deal with public matters of the church. And Paul is dealing here with the public assembly, with what we know as public worship. That's what he's dealing with, okay? Then for my personal context is, I, as a pastor, do not have much time or energy for a current trend in the Reformed Church that is absolutely insulting and belittling of women. Frankly, I'm sick of it. And I do not want anyone here that hears me today or on Ad Infinitum on YouTube to interpret anything that is said today as insulting or belittling or demeaning or not utterly upholding the dignity of the daughters of God. And men, I think we need to draw a line when we hear men in the church just speaking so egregiously of our mothers and our wives and our daughters. It's disgusting. That's my context from which I minister to you today. My understanding and my perspective. As we make our way through these two verses, we see, first of all, that there is an appropriate concern for external appearances. Paul does encourage adornment. He does encourage understanding how things are seen and perceived. Likewise, this points back to the beginning of verse 8, where he says, I desire then that, and he gives instruction for men. And now as he gives instruction for women, likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control. He's touching here on the external in relationship to the internal. The external, respectable apparel with modesty. The main emphasis here being not necessarily an era or style of clothing. We spent some time in central Kansas where two opposing camps in the Amish Mennonite community, one would use snaps and buttons, and the others would only hold their clothes together with straight pins. Exactly, thank you. That would increase your prayer life. Especially every time you bent over to pick something up. You'd feel that poking of the Spirit to pray. But this is how it degrades in works righteousness. When we start to overemphasize and over-delineate and over-interpret to simply just not trying to draw undue attention to oneself. So this respectable apparel with modesty. But then he turns to self-control, which is that external that's exposing the internal. But really, that's all of it. How we dress, what we wear, how we act points back to our heart. And I don't necessarily mean that in the dark sinfulness of our heart. Some of us get dressed in the morning out of great shame for how we look and how we will be perceived and how we will be understood. What goes on the outside of us exposes what's going on in the inside of us. And Paul, being that apostle that he is always driving us down into the heart, just like Jesus always did. We're reminded of probably one of the grandest statements of this in Scripture. When Samuel is trying to find the king. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And friends, we need to be reminded that no matter how we look on the outside, no matter how we are perceived, no matter what we wear, even to church, God sees the heart. And that might be a great comfort, or it might also be something that terrorizes you. Because you're using the external facade to hide the rot on the inside. You're using the external to hide the broken. God sees the heart. God sees the heart. There is an appropriate concern for external appearances because it exposes who we are on the inside. And Paul here is bending toward the self-control, which we are reminded in Galatians 5 is a fruit of the Spirit. Listen, even in pagan society, any ability someone has to control themselves is the working, redemptively, specifically in the life of the believer, or generally in society, it's a work of the Spirit. The Spirit restrains humanity. Why is culture not worse than it already is? It's because of the power of God holding the culture back from the cliff to which it would run. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. And all the women would say amen, but ladies, that's man in the general sense. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Self-control. We will see tonight that self-control is one of the fruits of the gospel that is so important in a woman's life as she interacts with the church. So we see that there is an appropriate concern for external appearances. Secondly, external appearances, though, are secondary to spiritual vitality. Yes, externals do, in a sense, matter. They do expose the heart. The heart is the primary issue. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart, as a good friend used to always say. Likewise, also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire. What are the historic contexts here? The historical contexts are, first of all, disorder in the church. There was a certain disorder going on by women seeking to upstage the officers of the church in public worship. We hear about this in 1 Corinthians 14. We'll touch on this again tonight. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. We will talk a little bit more tonight about that in its context and appropriate understanding. This is not a club to beat down women and tell them to shut up. Okay, this is speaking about an appropriate order in the public worship of the church. So that's one of the historical contexts. Another is temple prostitution, where there was worshiping of a god through sexuality and external sensuality. And this has no place in Christianity. Yet, look around the church landscape of America right now, where everything is so external and sensual and emotive. We see the easy draw that it is to make things about how they look and how they appear. The externals only. But you have to understand this section here through biblical hermeneutics, biblical interpretation. This is not a wide brush, broad brush banning of self-care before you come to worship, ladies. Okay? Please shower. Do your hair. This is not a banning and condemnation of hair being done, well, hopefully not hair, period, but hair being done nicely. It's not banning even makeup. It's not even banning jewelry. It has to be understood in the context and buffered by the reality that that is not the priority. That is not the most important thing that you have going. Think of this like Luke 14, where Christ says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What Jesus is saying is, he has to be your greatest love. That's what sets apart a disciple. That in order of priority, Jesus isn't second or third or fifth or tenth. And once all these other people are satisfied, then I'll do what Jesus wants. No, Jesus has to be your first love. But he couches it in these terms of hatred. It's a comparative statement. The amount with which you love and prioritize Jesus makes every other love in your life look like you really don't care about that person. And here now, as we come to what Paul is saying, the external is not the priority. The internal is. I've realized that living with a Southerner for almost half my life has really Southernized my thinking, because this is my next line. If getting gussied up isn't a sin. But if your gussy is all you've got, you might want to rethink your gussy. If all you're bringing to church is how you look and how you appear in some sort of status and standing, and not a heart of submission and love to Jesus Christ, you've got some business to do with the Lord. External appearances are secondary to spiritual vitality. And thirdly, spiritual vitality is brought through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. So ladies, you must begin with, where do I stand with Jesus? Where am I in relationship to the gospel? Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. There must be a union of the external profession to the internal reality. That confession is only as effective as it is real. In Titus 1, another letter by Paul to another young pastor, he says, "To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work." And ladies, the glory and the beauty of this text for you is that Jesus is concerned for your soul. Christianity is not a religion of men, where the women just tag along on our coattail and make it in because their husband is so great and godly. You are called to profess Jesus Christ and to walk in relationship with him all the days of your life, on into eternity. That is the dignity of women in the Christian faith. And you can go to place after place around the world where the men are in the room doing the important stuff and the women and the children are just out on the outskirts doing whatever can occupy their time, because the men are really the only ones that matter. And brothers and sisters, believe me when I say there are churches that handle themselves that way, and they're going to have a tough number of questions to answer when they stand before the Lord. Because Christianity, the gospel, gives a dignity to women that nothing else on the planet can. No other human religion can do for and say about women what Christianity can. But there's the point of confrontation, ladies. Do you, will you profess Christ? You aren't just a hood ornament on the Cadillac of your husband's life and career. You matter, and you matter enough that the gospel calls to you to trust Christ and to walk in the redeemed, holy life to which he is calling you, to which he calls all of his saints. So we see, fourthly, true beauty is the fullness of the gospel at work in you. That is true beauty. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ladies, listen, if you are called to good works in your life, that means that you were created and redeemed for that purpose. You are not an afterthought. God has a specific plan and purpose for you that you learn and know and see and understand as you walk in obedient faithfulness day by day before him. We see this in Tabitha, also known by Dorcas, in Acts 9. Now, there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. Ladies, how do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be thought of when your name comes up? Is it in how beautiful and outlandish you are? If so, you're missing the point. If it's even in how modest you are, you still might be missing the point. Because if you're so modest that you're drawing attention to yourself, you're not being modest. The final irony. But if when your name comes up, people think of all the good that you do, the acts of love that you perform, you are starting to understand, you are starting to live out the true beauty that Christ has called you to in the gospel, the dignity that the Savior gives you in calling you and making you his own, the beauty of the fullness of the gospel at work in you. And so we might have some repentance that is laid before us today. You ladies who have seen yourselves or been treated as only valuable due to your external appearance and what you do for another's ego, and you've come to understand yourself in that light, and that's how you see yourself, you need to repent of that. You need to let that go and begin living in the true beauty of the gospel at work in you, understanding that that is not your value and your worth, but it's Christ in you. You ladies who have seen yourselves as less or incomplete because you don't believe yourself to be valuable or attractive. And if you're single, oh, horrors, single people in the church, oh, you must not be attractive. You must not be valuable. You must not have worth. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God has given some this crazy gift of singleness. And he has gifted you and enabled you to serve the body in a particular way that all of us that are married and wrangling these offspring can't. We can't do it wholeheartedly. Our attention, our energy, what's left of it, is utterly divided. You are a gift to the body of Christ. Serve in that gift. Men, if you have developed the habit in your life of only valuing women based on their external appearance, you need to repent of that. You need to labor to look for true beauty in the women around you, of having true spiritual concern for their souls, which is where the true beauty abides as the gospel takes root and grows in them. Ladies, the true beauty of God in you is the gospel. Pursue that beauty as wholeheartedly as you possibly can. Pursue living a life where the gospel is taking root in you and the fruit of the Spirit is abundant in your self-control and in your acts of love. Stand with me as we pray. Father, help us as your people to regard no one according to the flesh, but to have a true spiritual concern for everyone around us. Lord, forgive us as men for not loving and caring for the women in the church as we ought to, not protecting them and guarding them from abuse and hurt, even hatred, from some men who claim the name of Christ. Lord, bless your daughters in this place. Give them a great vision of true beauty as the gospel takes root in their lives and they see the fruit of the Spirit begin to grow and flourish. Help us to pursue the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Him crucified, that we might live. We pray in His name. Amen.